God, you're so good to us. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be reading from the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 9. I asked that question on the Bible study Wednesday, Bible quiz Wednesday night before I preached it tonight. Some of you missed it last Wednesday night, but you'll get it next time. Acts chapter 9. I'm going to begin reading with the first verse. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was there 3 days, without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And I'm going to stop right there for tonight. From the day that Jesus arose from the dead until tonight, there have been multiplied millions that have come to know Christ in salvation, have been born again. And I would like to pause right now to say thank God for each one. Anytime one person gets saved, that's a real blessing. We ought to never take it lightly. And I thought about some of those that have, how they have been saved or the circumstances of their salvation. Many of them have been mightily used of God to impact their generation after being saved. And I want to mention 3 or 4. One was a man by the name of Martin Luther. He was a Catholic monk. He was seeking after God. He had been taught the way to God is to do works and to light candles and to count beads and to say so many prayers. But God spoke to him while he was doing penance one day and said, Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. Not by penance, not by works. And so he got a hold of God. He got a hold of the Scripture. He believed what God said. He realized it's in the Bible that you're not saved by works. You're not saved by giving money. You're saved by faith by the grace of God. By the grace of God, we're saved tonight through the faith that we have in Him. Do you believe that? Martin Luther did not want to leave the Catholic Church. He wanted a revival in the church. But they rejected it. He became the leader of the great religious reformation that took place way back down in the 16th century. He got saved when God dealt with his heart, saying, the just shall live by faith. We sung a while ago, Amazing Grace. A man, and I mentioned the story, a man that was lived a wicked life. His father, he was following the footsteps of his dad. His dad was a captain of a ship that brought slaves from Africa to England and to Europe. And so John followed after his dad in his dad's footsteps, but he had a mama at home praying. And he knew that his mother was a godly woman. She was praying, but he was going the other direction, and he got caught in a storm. And in the midst of the storm, it looked like he was going to perish. And he cried out to God, knowing that his mother's prayers, praying to the Almighty God, God is the true God. And he called out to the God of his mama and said, God, forgive me of my sins, and God saved him. And he wrote the words to Amazing Grace. Listen to these words. Through many dangers, toils, and snares we have already come. But it's the grace of God that's brought us this far. And the grace of God's going to take us home. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I thought about John Newton. Got saved. I never hear another word about it. What his life was like. What he did after he wrote Amazing Grace. I don't know. I don't know the rest of his life. And I thought how that one song has blessed millions and blessed us tonight. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Then I thought about a man by the name of Billy, professional baseball player, living the high life, flamboyant. Oh, he was liked by everyone. One evening in Chicago, he went by a mission. I've jotted down the name of the mission. Pacific Garden Mission. You've heard stories of it on the radio. Went by the mission, heard the word. Billy Sunday, a man that was living the high life, professional baseball player, bowed his head before the Lord and asked God to forgive him in Pacific Garden Mission, and God saved his life. And in that experience that happened in his life, he became a preacher, a dynamic preacher in the last century for the glory of God. One man got saved and changed the hearts and lives of many. What a big God we're serving. I thought about D.L. Moody in the 19th century, but that was a shoe salesman. And he decided to go to church. And a Sunday school teacher told him about Jesus. And D.L. Moody was won to God by a Sunday school teacher's teaching and testimony. He became one of the great evangelists of yesteryear. These men were used of God in a mighty way, had tremendous conversions. And there are many like John Wesley and Charles Wesley and George Whitefield, and on and on and on the list goes. But there's never been a conversion like that compares to the one right here. Saul. Oh, we've all got saved, and when you got saved, it was just as real. Just as important. But I thought about this conversion of Saul, how that he was on his way to Damascus, persecute Christians, men and women. He's already got the authority out from the leaders in Jerusalem. Go to Damascus, get those that believe this way, that are part of this called Christianity, and find them and bring them back, men and women, bring them back to Jerusalem to be persecuted and to be tried and what have you. And I thought about what happened, and I want to preach about this tonight. I want to just give some background. I know nothing of Saul. Nothing until the 7th chapter. Have no record of his life before the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. In the book of Acts we find that from our Sunday school lesson, how that they needed some help in ministering to the widows. And so the apostles had them to elect some deacons. And they elected 7 deacons full of the Holy Ghost out from among the church, or part of the church, that had the power of God in their lives and had wisdom. And as they looked at the deacons, one of them was named Stephen. Because of his ministry and the miracles in his ministry, he was called before the Sanhedrin court to give a testimony. Why are you preaching what you're preaching? And somewhere close by was a man named Saul. After he had witnessed, or after he had given his testimony before the Sanhedrin court, because it had pricked their hearts, they did not want to hear what he had to say. Some of the things that he said in his testimony, they led him out of the city to put him to death. And Saul was close by. When they went to stone him to death, the Bible said these men took their clothes, their coats, and they laid them at the feet of a young man while they stoned a servant of God to death. And the young man's name was Saul. I don't know. I haven't read anything in the Bible that tells me this. But I believe something happened on that day that Saul never got away from it. He heard Stephen. As they were mocking and making fun, Stephen looked up, and I believe it's all heard. I see the heavens open. I see the Son of God standing at the Father's right hand. He's been seated. Stephen's never seen him standing at the Father's right hand. They persecuted him. They mocked him. They blasted him. They get him ready to stone him to death. And he said, I see Jesus. When they began to cast the stones, they laid their coats at the young man Saul's feet. He watched the stuff while they stoned one of God's servants to death.
And I believe it stayed with him the rest of his life. I believe it made an impact. I wish I could tell you that when Stephen was dying and Saul was standing right there, watching the coats, looking after them, taking care of their garments, he heard Stephen with his last voice, the last breath, with the stones having beat around his head and blood from his nose and his eyes and his ears and his mouth, cried out, "Father, forgive them. Don't lay the sin to their charge." And I believe everything that Stephen said, how he died, willing to die, willing to give his life for Christ, the way he was willing to die, I believe it got a hold of Saul. I wish I could tell you that Saul bowed his head and prayed. Now it's not the beginning, but it didn't. The Bible says he went on to persecute. He was a zealot. He believed what he was doing was the will of God. He believed he was doing God a favor when he was persecuting the church. He was sold out to destroy the church of the living God, believing that it was a sect or a cult. And now the story is, on his way to Damascus in the 9th chapter, to bind men and women and bring them out of the synagogues, these that have accepted Jesus and their lives have been changed and they have a testimony, he's going to bring them back down to Jerusalem to be tried and many be put to death, no doubt. While he was there on his road to Damascus, the Bible says a bright light shined out of heaven. Let me leave this with you tonight. When God shines a spotlight on you, that's power. If I'm one of these little old AAA battery jobs, some said he was riding a horse and he was knocked off the horse. I don't know. But I know that he fell in the road. The bright light struck him. And there are three questions in the story that I'm going to preach about tonight. First of all, as Saul is lying there in the road, he hears a voice. Here's a voice. This is an important part of the sermon tonight. The others heard a sound. The others heard a voice. But they didn't know where to sing. This was for Saul. It was personal. And I thank God that he spoke personally to me. With all the millions that have been saved, salvation is a personal thing. Aren't you glad you got saved personally? If my mother could have gotten saved from me, she would have. If my father could have gotten saved from me, he would have. I believe that. I believe if my grandfather Parker could have gotten saved from me, he would have. But no one could have. It's a personal thing. And one day God spoke to me personally. Hallelujah. He loved me enough. He loved you enough. Then he came to you right where you were. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He wanted to forgive us. Oh, yeah, aren't you glad? Amen, amen. Saul, he asked the first question. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The first question of the story. Why, Saul, are you so angry? Why are you so bitter with these believers? Why is it that you want to destroy the church? Why did you want to, what is it about them that causes you to be so upset? What about their lives that causes you to have such a feeling in your heart that you want to kill them or bring them to the jail or to justice or whatever you call it? Whatever you're trying to do, why are you doing it? Why? And sometimes I wonder if God doesn't say to us, why? Why do you do things like that? Why? I'm glad that he loves us. I'm glad that God understands. Amen. Sometimes we might make some blunders. I don't know how you were raised, but there were times when us boys got out of line, and Daddy sometimes, and with tears in his eyes before he whipped us. And after we whipped us, we all had tears by then. But Daddy would say something like this, "Boys, why did you do it? Why did you do it, boys? We've been taught better. We knew better." Daddy was well known in the town, the barber, the only barber in Fox Hill. Everybody knew him. The Jones family had a good reputation. My dad, my mom. My dad would say, "Boys, why?" And Jesus is saying to Saul, "Saul, why? Why persecutest thou me?" Let me leave something with you. When people persecute the church, they're persecuting Jesus. When people fight against the church, they're fighting against Jesus. We're living in a day, and we might mention more next Sunday or in Bible study. We're living in a day, and I hope you'll understand where I'm coming from. The church tonight is getting close to where I believe that it's going to take something more than we've ever had to stand through. Yes, sir. Wait on that, preacher. I believe to preach the truth will be a hate crime. Yes, sir.
Right.
We're living in a dangerous age. And Jesus said, "Saul, why? Why do you persecute me?" Then I came to the second question. Stunned, lying in the road, having been struck down by the bright light, the power of the light from heaven. Lying in the road. And he says, "Who art thou? Who art thou? Who art thou?" I believe somehow his mind goes back to the time when he heard Stephen preach, heard Stephen testify. I believe things begin to come together like Sister Alma was testifying. I don't believe all these things are just happenstance. I don't believe the devil's in charge. I believe God is still in control. And God wants to save our loved ones. And whatever it takes, we pray. Whatever it takes, God, if they get saved, it's going to be worth it.
Amen.
You say amen.
Amen.
I believe it. I would love to hear the Bible break out with Tom and with Nelma and with John and with Diane and with Sue and with Marty and with Sheila and with Mary and the rest of them. And I can't remember all the names, but God, give me Bible.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou? Let me just read this with you tonight. He's the one that's been blasphemed. He's the one that said, "That's Beelzebub." He's the one that crucified. He's the one that died. He's the one that is risen from the dead. He's the Christ of glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Who art thou? And as Jesus answers, as to who he is, he says these words, it's hard to kick against the pricks. Let me leave something with you tonight. I'm preaching to the church on Sunday night. God has blessed us. We might not be much in number tonight, nor this morning, but we've heard three testimonies tonight of a mighty good God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're serving a great big God. Christine has come. I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy, don't you know when we get the glory? And we're in the presence of the Lord." Some people have ideas what they're going to do. I believe we'll be like John. We'll fall on our faces before the Lord because of his holiness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus, hallelujah. I'm the Christ of glory. I'm the Son of God. He didn't say that. But Paul, I saw was his name before his change of Paul. There is Saul lying there in the road. This is the part, and I'm going to be very brief tonight. The third question. Lying in the road, having heard from God, know this the Lord. I believe the things that he saw with Stephen and what he heard from Stephen, I believe they're all coming back to him now. He says these words, "What will thou have me to do? What will you have me to do?" You know what I believe about that? I believe Saul has had a real experience with God. I believe that he has heard from heaven. He's heard the voice of the Almighty. I have not heard the voice. I felt the touch of his hand on my side. I haven't heard the voice in a sense. But he's spoken to my heart. And many times, and I go back to that night when he called me to preach, just as real as anything. He led me to know that I need not be afraid. And I mentioned this in one sermon not long ago, and pretty much mentioned it two or three times since. The Lord said to me, He says, I'll be with you. Now, if God, the Lord goes with you, brother, you don't have a whole lot to worry about.
Amen.
Amen. Growing up in Fox Hill, there was a large family of the Royals, a large family of the Jones boys. And there were some other families that had some boys, the Tapping family that had several boys. And sometimes we got into it. We just got into it. Most of the time it didn't last long. You get into it and then you get out of it. And go on your way. But as a youngster growing up, if my older brother was close by, especially if their older brother wasn't there, I felt pretty good. But sometimes my elder brother wasn't there. I just had one elder brother. I had three younger brothers. One sometimes brother wasn't there, we called him brother. But I'm going to share something with you tonight. Since February of 1955, my elder brother has been with me every step of the journey. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've had to go anywhere without him. Amen. Whatever that call is, don't leave home without it. Man, I'm glad Jesus will go with you. Hallelujah. He'll take care of you, fight the battles in here. Here is Paul, his soul, lying in the street or in the road. On the road to Damascus, he's seen and heard. There's the Lord, and the Lord's up in his heart. And he's committed his life to Christ. And he says these words, what will you have me to do? Let me leave it with you tonight. When you sell out to God, when you obey God, when you trust God with all your heart, like I preached this morning, brother, you're ready to do something. Whatever. Now, if I was called a preacher, I would not call me to preach. And I say that humbly. I hope you understand. I'm glad I am not the one to call anybody to preach. But God called. And when God calls, you don't have any other say so if you're going to serve God. And the happiest life in the world is over in God, doing the will of God. And here is Saul lying in the road to Damascus. With all that's happened, he's committed his life to God, he's sold out to God, lock, stock, and barrel, he's laid all in line, he's trusting the Lord with all his heart, and now he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, man, wouldn't that be something when about 75 church people come to the pastor and says, what is there something I can do? Help me, Missy. I'll tell you what would be. I'll tell you what it would be like. It'd be like we were in the midst of revival and didn't know it. What can I do? What do you have me to do? Now, I've already given you some instructions. I'm asking you, not giving instructions, giving you, asking you to help. Everyone contact someone this week. Here's Saul lying in the road. He's been a Pharisee. He's been a zealot. He's kept the law. He kept all the Jewish, the commandments of the law and tradition of the Old Testament. He had zeal. He was enthusiastic about what he was doing. He really believed he was doing God a favor. And now he says, God, what would you have me to do? I know that you don't want me to continue what I'm doing. So what would you have me to do? And I thought, for the church tonight, sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we don't know which way to go. I've mentioned this before and I'll mention it again tonight. Sometimes when there's a death in the family, and I go to visit the family or go to the viewing or wherever, sometimes I want to say something that really means something and seem like I don't have the right words. And whatever I say doesn't seem to be sufficient. I feel like I wanted to say so much more, but it wasn't there. In my heart, I wanted to just somehow help them. I wanted to encourage them, and when I finished trying the best that I knew how, I wondered, had I helped them at all? And here was Saul saying, what would you have me to do? I want to go back before I close out tonight. When Alma was testifying about the accident, And I still don't know all that happened. I haven't been close by enough to know all, but when I heard about broken ribs and a broken shoulder, broken arm, and is the neck broken as well? The neck broken, the back, broken spinal, what have you. Broken up. I don't know all, but one thing I know, that there's a God in the heavens that's still in control. When you go into a difficult time, if there's an accident, if there's sickness, if there's affliction, if there's hardship, if there's trouble, have God still sit on the throne. Hallelujah. Have God still rules. Amen. Have God still has everything under control. And the devil cannot change what God can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I prayed. You prayed. So many are going through so much at one time. I thought about the miracles that took place in the service, the church. I first pastored in 3 years. Over and over again, how did God heal of a brain tumor, of a cancer in the womb, of cancer of the breast. And over again, a girl's eyesight where she could not even see the blackboard. How did God heal over and over again? I believe that after all these years, our God is still the same tonight. Hallelujah. I want to see healing from the glory of God. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and the shall recover. I was praying last night right here. God, help me. Help me, God, that my hand will be in the strength tonight of the hand of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God's still God. His anointing is still real. We prayed for people back then that were healed. God still can heal tonight. Hallelujah. Saul said, what will they have me to do? What will you have me to do? God didn't lay it all out at one time, so let me leave this with you before I close. If God had told him that day what he was going to go through, he might not have had enough something to get up and go on into the city. God will never, never, never give you more than you can handle. There has no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. Hallelujah. What will you have me to do? And when he went on into the city, they led him into the city because he's blind. And after some time, God has spoken to another man, go by and pray for Saul. I've called him as a chosen vessel. This is more than I can imagine. A man that has been killing Christians, a man that has been persecuting Christians, a man that has been binding Christians and hauling them off to the magistrate, a man that's causing havoc in the church and destroying the very faith of some. And God says, he's one of my chosen vessels. That's more than I can take in. But if you're saved tonight, you're one of God's chosen vessels. And I don't know what God's going to do. I believe if we'll do this tonight in the closing prayer, if we could say with Saul, what would you have me to do? What would you like for me to do, God? Is there something that I can do that you want? Maybe somebody else would not get around to do that, but something that you want me to do. If we will. If we will tonight. I tried to preach, and I look back over the sermons, and I don't have any kind of series. Nothing. One sermon at a time, but I look back. And some of the things I preached last Sunday and this morning, if we'll just trust God with all of our hearts. If we'll just turn everything over to God. What do you want me to do, God? I told the Sunday school class this morning. I got a card yesterday. I got it on the desk in the study. Handwritten. You don't see much of that anymore. Handwritten card from Gospel for Asia. Recently we sent money to build a new church in India. We give so much money every month. I don't know exactly how much. 16 times 30. How much is that? 480 every month to Gospel for Asia. Supporting 16 native missionaries. I got the card. I opened it up yesterday. When I saw his handwritten, I got so unusual, I wondered what it was, and I began to read. And I talked to someone from headquarters in Texas some time ago. They called me to thank me and thank the church for the way that you blessed me and have given. They sent a handwritten card and thanking the church. And at the close of that card, and I'd love for you to read it, the close of the card, and they said, when I talked to them by phone, they said, is there anything that we can pray for? Is there some need in the church that you'd like for Gospel for Asia people to pray for? The church, a bundle of tabernacle. I said, yes. Pray that we'll have revival. And pray that God will give us the pastor. That's His will. And in that card that I got yesterday, one that wrote it said, and I pray personally today for that pastor. And I believe with you that God's going to work it all out. And I'm standing before you tonight that I believe that God is in control. And everything's working right in the plan of God. We sometimes would like to do this and do this. And I know all of us, we want things to work out now. God's working it all out. But I finish. My wife's coming to the piano. But now, what would God have us to do? I mentioned the other Sunday, and I don't have anything worked out. I believe God's been impressing me to have the church to fast. I've been reluctant to call a fast in the church because some people don't understand. I'm not interested in going on a diet, just missing meals. If we're going to fast, we must pray. 58th chapter of Isaiah talks about the fast that breaks the yoke. We have prayed, and our deacons have done a tremendous job. And I've told them, and I've told you, trying their best, doing everything they know to do to secure a pastor to take this church, should the Lord tarry, to take it on. To go for the glory of God. It seemed like things up until right now. Nothing yet has worked out. But God's still in control. And God loves us. And He's mindful of us. I believe that He's more concerned about the pastor than we are. And that might be hard to say. God wants the best for this church. It's His. Not ours. And I don't have anything to present tonight, but I will have, if the Lord tarries. I'd like for you to prepare yourselves for some time of fasting and praying. Not mandatory. Anyone that wants to be a part. What would God have you to do? Our deacons have done, and I say this humbly, I believe everything they knew to do. Contacting, trying to find someone that believes like the Bible teaches and like we teach as a church. It's done, they've worked at it, prayed together, met together. But we're going to fast and pray, said the Lord tarry. I just want you to think about it. We'll work out something. I believe, when I ask myself tonight, what would God have me to do? Maybe more than give. Maybe more than pray. Jesus said on one occasion, this time comes out only by fasting and praying. I know that was about demon possession. But maybe even tonight, God's asking us, how much do we really want the will of God? How much really are we concerned about the will of God? I believe for Brother Jody, for Brother Ochoa, for whoever. I believe what I preached this morning, like Isaiah said, God can stand close by me and whoever it is, whisper in their ear and say, this is the way. This is it. Just like the Lord did for me in Sierra Vista when they let me to know, that's it for you, Glenn. And I knew it was in the will of God. Folks, the will of God's the best thing in our lives. You're a good church. We're going to worship tonight. We're going to rejoice tonight in the Lord. The testimonies have blessed me. What would you have me to do? I want them to go home with you. I want them to leave with you in your life tonight. What would God have me to do? And Saul became the great apostle, used mightily of the Almighty God. God can use Tommy. God can use Carl. God can use you. And you and me. Every one of us. And I leave this with you as my wife prays softly. I mentioned D.L. Moody was born to Christ by a Sunday school teacher. Too often we do not take time to thank those that labor among us. I want to thank God for Missy and for Shelley leading the young people. They haven't part of my glasses. I'll get it. I want to thank Mike and Denise for years and years and years on Wednesday nights. And Tom and Juanita and Teresa now. Wednesday nights missing everything we have out here in the Wednesday night children's program. I want to thank Tom and then this morning Lisa another time for the children's church. Every Sunday morning for Tom for years missed the Sunday morning preaching to plant the seed in their lives. And I'll leave a testimony with you tonight. Some of those children that have come through our junior church and children's church and Sunday school and Wednesday night, some of them have graduated from high school. Some of those have graduated from college. Some of those now are leaders in the church. In the churches where they are. Some saved by the grace of God that just wasn't a part of our church just on Wednesday nights. Let me say something. Be faithful. You might never know what goes on during this life. Be faithful. Be faithful. One little boy, one little girl might be saved if he was at all. Will you stand together with me? Thank God.